Hello, Thomas.
Hey, how you doing, Taylor?
Good. Normally, we're talking about babies and crap and diapers and parents.
Yeah, that might come into it, but that's okay.
But now you're going to tell us what she really wants.
Yes. Not crap in the diaper.
Not diapers, probably.
True. Number one.
Although, if she really loves you, you know.
Right.
She'll take care of that. Okay, so break it on down for us. Valentine's Day is around the corner. We want to have a good one. So what should we be doing, Thomas?
Well, the first question is, do I want to work on my relationship? It works if you work it. If you don't want to work on it, it's not going
to
work.
That's a great point. And you know what? That's a fabulous place to start off that no one ever starts off at. Because it's like sometimes people go into therapy and it's like one person's into fixing and the other person's just like, this is stupid. If there's a stupid person in the room, why even bother?
It's not going to work. Yeah.
You know what? Clients come in to me and they all know what they want. What do you want? I want my husband to pay attention to me. I want my husband to make me a priority. A guy will come, I want more sex. I want. And you know what I ask? What do you need to do to get the wants?
Right.
And this silence.
Ah, isn't it interesting?
We always look at what we want, but you know, to work on the relationship, we got to look at what we need to do to get the wants.
Right.
And to me, the most important piece in a relationship is communication.
Yeah.
If you don't communicate, you can't get intimacy.
You're in so much trouble if you can't communicate. I remember I was in couples therapy with somebody I was with, and we went in together, and shocker, I talked the whole time. No surprise there. And it got to a point where the doctor was like, okay, I think you might need like some sort of medication, and that's fine. I'm cool with that. Right. And I was like, I'm fine with looking into me taking medication. However, it has occurred to me that maybe I seem crazy because I'm the only one speaking here. So how about we spend a month with him talking solely, and then we'll reevaluate if I need the medication, and I'm open to that. And she said, fine. The first session we started with him, where it was his turn to talk, somehow he got into a fight with the therapist and blew up and walked away. Wow. Next week when we had our appointment, he somehow had an excuse, got out of it. Very interesting. He wasn't willing to go there.
Sabotage.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Sabotage. And that's what a lot of people do, especially if they grew up in the mentality of not trusting intimacy.
Yes.
And not having
Where does that come from?
It.
Where does that come
well,
from?
Childhood messages. You know, I remember when I was a kid, my dad was an alcoholic and he was abusive. Mm-hmm. And if I should cry or, God forbid, show feelings, my dad would call me his little girl. He'd say, come on, little girl.
Mm-hmm.
What was the message? Clearly, don't be vulnerable, don't show feelings, or you're going to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So I grow up, I get married. Now, my wife is very easy to talk to and everything, but I'm time traveling now. As soon as I start to feel a feeling or an uncomfortability, I don't want to make a problem. So I'm either going to shut down and run away.
Right.
Or do what your boyfriend did.
Right.
Create an argument so I can get out of it that way.
Exactly.
And that's what people do. They'll do one or two things. They'll shut down.
Uh-huh.
Run away.
And like, and when you say run away, you mean like physically remove yourself?
No,
like I have to go.
Just shut down. Not like, say a word. Like, how do you feel?
But like physically remove themselves, like go into a different den and watch, let's say golf, or like maybe they'll go golfing, or maybe they'll like go to the office and go do work.
Or run.
Are you describing my husband?
I didn't mean to.
Legit.
I didn't mean to.
Like, Taylor, were you in our apartment in May? Last May?
I have a camera.
Yeah.
Set up.
Hey, you know what? A lot of people don't know how to talk. To communicate.
Yeah.
But Thomas, like,
feelings.
How do you draw that out? Like, exactly to Taylor's point. Like, I'll say to my husband, he'll come home in a bad mood, and I'll be like, what's wrong? And he's like, nothing, I'm fine. And I'll be like, no, seriously, tell me what's wrong. And he's like, what's wrong is you keep asking me what's wrong.
Right.
Like, literally, that's our biggest argument, is that you're in a bad mood. And he's like, I'm not. You're putting me in one because you keep asking
me. But you are intuitive, and you are feeling something is different. So I'm going to blame it on him.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But like, but to your point, like, how do you draw that out of a person?
Well, you know, my wife will tell me at times when she's talking to me, I don't want you to fix my problems. I just need you to listen.
Oh my God, this is so amazing. So just recently, Taylor said to me, we were having this amazing conversation. We were coming back from Philadelphia from a weekend with her family. And she said, you know, I've been getting so frustrated because I want to fix things. Or, you know, I feel like when you come to me with complaints, like you need a solution for me. And I realized you just want to talk.
So you're giving the person what they're asking for. Now, your husband is saying he doesn't want to communicate. You have to leave him alone. But I think the best...
But all the time?
Well, I think the best approach is to say, look, you know, you look upset. It makes me sad when you're upset. I really want to help you. Is there anything I can do to help you, to talk to you, to make
it's so much work, Thomas.
Well, you know what? That's... But that, people think it's a lot of work, but if you get into training of doing this,
okay, right,
at the you and you get
all
used
right,
to
I
this,
buy that.
You know, it's like boundaries. When you put boundaries down in the
yeah.
beginning, you think they're the most difficult thing in the world.
Right.
But if you get used to putting boundaries down, they make your life much easier.
So much easier.
I have to have the trust in my clients that when I tell them, just do the actions. Trust me.
Yes.
You put boundaries down. In
yes.
time, it's going to make your life so much easier.
Huh.
But you need to trust me.
Okay.
It doesn't happen immediately.
But what, okay, so what if Lori's saying to her husband, I feel like you're something's wrong, and he's saying there's not something wrong, but she really in her gut is feeling like there's something wrong.
Yes.
Because I've had this, well, you yeah. know, like if Taylor's like quiet, like just when she works, she works a lot from yeah. home, and she does editing. And so she's like, she calls it the vortex. And she, when she goes in, she says, she comes out with like social disorders.
Right.
Like just
well,
for a little bit.
That,
just
though.
For a little bit.
Yeah, I believe that.
And so I'm like, so now I'm like, I have to just say, okay, I have to believe that she's not in a bad mood and that she's just really tired or just disconnected for the moment, but it's hard to believe.
So you make, yeah. you're making up a story.
Yeah, that happens right. a lot.
Could be true. Could be true. Could be false.
You're lots of times it's true.
Okay,
but not with her. But, with her, it's false. With right. everybody else, it's true.
So you make up a story.
Yeah.
My husband's struggling or upset or something
yeah,
happened.
Yeah.
What's your story?
What's my story that I'm projecting on him?
What story are you
just
making
even
up
in your head?
Oh, God.
Not even projecting.
We don't even have enough time. But I always feel like it's something that I did.
Yeah.
Always.
But see, if you don't go to him with your story,
okay,
you will make it real in your head. It will be a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Wait,
so,
can I be totally honest with you?
Yes.
He's so tired of hearing my stories. Because I'm like, I think you're mad because... and he's just like, what he always says to me, Thomas, and maybe you can solve this in one quip because you seem to be able to. He's always like, Lori, not everybody is like you. Like, he's like, you default to a good mood. Like, you're just like a happy person.
Yeah.
You like default to a good mood. And he's like, I'm not unhappy. I'm just not doing what he calls jazz hands in a kick line, which is what I'm always doing.
So
I'm always like, hey.
It sounds like you have some codependency kicking in there.
Uh-oh.
Don't worry, Laura. I'm right here with you, okay?
Is that why we get along so well?
Yes, we are in the same place.
Codependency is really when we lose ourselves in the other person.
Totally.
I'm not taking care of myself, losing myself in the other person.
I go from my mom to my best friend to then my husband. That didn't work out. Not to my girlfriend.
Right, right. Right.
And come to me.
No,
I'm waiting for you.
As I'm sitting here, like, Lori and I should be together. Right. Don't be scared of me. Don't worry, I'm not going to hit on you.
I'm
Taylor sexual.
Bring it.
Okay, so the first step is both people wanting to
communicate. That means the strength of a relationship is in the struggles.
Yeah.
Not the good times.
Right. Amen, Thomas. True story.
When I struggle, you know, how am I showing up with my significant other? Mm-hmm. I know what my wife's triggers are. She knows what my triggers are. Would it bother somebody if somebody is communicating with their ex-girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever? You make your significant other the priority.
Yes.
Right.
You know, I'm not safe when you are emailing or texting somebody you dated before.
I like that phrase. I'm not safe when.
Right, right.
Yes.
I'm not safe when you say that I'm like my mother. Mm-hmm. Or I'm not safe
I
when
love
you
it.
Say that I'm... So first you develop communications to keep each other safe. So if your husband maybe mm-hmm. needs to say, you know, when you say this to me and keep coming at me,
right,
the story I make up is blank, 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 blank. You know, these are the things that people need to communicate. Because
okay.
we all have stories on how we think the person's going to react.
Right.
If we're not exposing the stories,
right.
we make them true.
Right.
So we need to talk about... to our spouse and know their triggers, because we're not only in a relationship with our spouse or significant other, we're in a relationship with their childhood messages as well.
Okay. Now, also, Thomas, I know we have seven to get through, and we're right. running out of time because
right.
you were just so much fun to talk to.
Okay.
So, I know, me too, Lori. And we're in this together always.
Okay.
We're a wonderful partnership here. Okay, so number two, relationships are not always 50-50.
Exactly.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Your husband or your significant other has strengths in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
And you have strengths in certain areas. Don't
mm-hmm.
go into every situation thinking, I put in 50, he or she puts in 50.
Ooh.
Sometimes you have to be more of the relationship, and that's okay.
But then when do you get paid back?
That's the key. It shouldn't always be one person. But if my wife is better...
And I don't mean monetarily paid
right.
back.
No, but if my wife is better handling my family my family issues, that's
right.
Okay. Maybe I'm better handling the discipline with the kids. That's okay.
Ah.
We don't always have to have expectations that say it's 50-50, 50-50.
Okay.
Because those expectations are going to create resentments, and we don't want to have resentments.
Right.
So we have strengths, we have weaknesses.
Okay.
Accept those.
Number three, become aware of the version of intimacy each partner received in childhood. That's a tough one.
Well, you know,
that is
like,
really tough.
Like I said earlier, I said that my dad called me a little girl. Now, for my son, I made sure early on, and I remember a situation real quick when we had to put our dog to sleep, and my son was brokenhearted, and I remember the day I walked over to him, and I put his arms around me, and I put his head on my chest.
You physically put him against you.
Yes, and I allowed him to cry.
Oh.
I gave him a safe place to share his feelings with his dad, a place I never had as a kid.
Right.
But I was going to give that to my son, and my son is grown up. My kids have grown up sharing feelings.
Which is so important, and really must.
And my daughters share a lot more than I want to know.
You know, I dated a guy, and he told me the story, and it still breaks my heart to this day. When he was little, his dad took away his blanket and threw it down the garbage chute. He made him throw down the garbage chute, and he said, "You're too big of a boy to have this blanket. Throw it down the garbage chute." And when he threw it down, he cried, and his dad got mad at him for crying about. And it still breaks my heart.
God.
And knowing that story should have told me a lot about who I was dating and the kind of childhood he had.
Right. And I always say that children are egocentric. So when my dad's out drinking and not coming home at night, I'm not saying, gee, he's an alcoholic. I'm saying, what's the matter with me? I must be unlovable. I must be damaged goods.
Oh,
that's the message that creates that.
So it's very important to share childhood stories with your significant other.
You have to.
Okay, four, be aware of the time traveling process.
There's times that my wife, I'm going to hear things from my significant other that reminds me of my mom or dad, and things that I'll say and remind her of her mom or dad. I got to be aware of what are the messages that I'm receiving that she's really saying.
Right.
Is what she's saying, what I'm hearing,
or
what I'm hearing, not what she's saying. Because that filter gets messed up because of our upbringing. If we're...
Okay, upbringing I get. But Thomas, also, can you time travel back to a bad relationship?
Oh, absolutely.
Because I'm aware right now that that's something that I'm really struggling with, is I'm like PTSD hardcore from a bad scenario where I was abused. Not physically, emotionally, whatever. And I cannot, it's so much baggage I'm carrying over, and it's so unfair.
That's where you got to put the story out there.
Uh-huh.
You know, honey, listen, I'm making up a story.
Yeah, because the story existed in my past.
My story's coming from my past.
Right.
I'm making up a story. I need to tell you my story because what you're saying may not be what I'm hearing.
It's totally true. Okay, so that's time travel. It can be from childhood and parents, and it can also be from past relationships.
Right.
Okay, do you want to be right or do you want to be close?
Look,
my mom says this to me. Do you want to be happy or do you want to be right?
If all I want to be is right and she wants to be right, we're victims to each other.
Yeah.
Nobody's listening. So we got to give up the right to be right and choose closeness instead. That means listen and validate the person.
But what about when you're right?
So I was just going to say, like, my father-in-law would always be like, choose kindness over victory. And I'm like, but victory is so gratifying.
Yes.
Especially when you're like, I told you not to put the plastic thing on the bottom of the dishwasher.
Because now it's all mangled.
So, 46 times I told you.
So what about if I create that closeness first, coming back and saying, you know, you were right. I shouldn't have done that. Versus if I go like this, because when you're trying to be right, we defend ourselves.
Right.
I'm not going to be able to
say... Defensiveness is the worst thing in the world.
Right. I'm not going to be able to say you were right if I'm like this. But if I hear it where in a different way, again, we're talking about communication, I may come back and say, you know, you were right when you told me to do that.
Right.
If I'm not up in defenses and acting like you're not hearing me. Mm-hmm. People want to be heard, validated, and empathized with.
Yes.
Before they get into the right and wrong thing.
Yes.
Two people wanting to be right, nobody's listening.
Being defensive is very destructive. If you can fix one thing, and this is something I try to work on, just don't go to defensiveness, go to compassion. That's something I try to work on.
Right.
Help your partner without expecting a cookie in return.
Yeah. Let's
I always want a cookie.
Yeah.
Me
right,
too.
Right. Let's try and do something nice without always expecting a payback. And ironically, when we do that enough,
you get payback.
You got it.
And then last but not least, be aware of your inner critic.
Oh. Hey, listen.
I think I'm fat. That's me.
Another dollar.
That's another dollar in the fat bucket. Shit.
Yeah. Am I lovable? Can I allow love in? And if I can't love myself, there's a really good shot I'm not going to allow other people to love me. We go back to the sabotage, self-sabotage.
Mm. Thomas, we are saboteurs.
You're always, I know we're the same person. It's terrible. And also wonderful. I think we're great. Thomas Gagliano, you are amazing. We love you so much.
Great.
And you are so, I love the way you speak. I love the way you sound. I love the things you say. And I love that I could hear your leather jacket moving the entire segment. That was my favorite part. My favorite. You are just like the perfect man, I must say. Thank you so much for joining us. And you guys, best-selling author of The Problem Was Me and Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper.
Best title ever.
In the world. Thomas Gagliano. Yay. Thank you so much. ThomasGagliano.com. Check him out. And he'll be back on the show. We'll be back in a bit. Don't go anywhere.